Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And now, as we've been saying for the last few days, last week or so, is the markets are going up, and it doesn't matter why. We have a position that is just simply they want to go higher. Now, you can make all kinds of reasons up as to why they shouldn't, and you can certainly try to fight it, or you can do the smart thing, which is to kind of hang out on the sidelines and let the markets do what they're going to do. I certainly am not an advocate of buying in here up at these upper levels. And I'm talking about the overall indexes. I'm not talking about individual stocks. Individual stocks are always independent from the overall opinion of the markets, because individual stocks have different times, different things, and different reasons as to why they will go up or go down. You know, they could have an earnings report. They could have something, you know. And of course, as we do know, that over time, that individual stocks could, you know, perform differently than the overall markets. Now, we also know that you could have the weight or the pressure of the market could, if we were going down and you were buying something, the weight of the market could hold back a stock by a little bit. But if a stock is strong enough, then it'll most likely continue to go higher. And if a stock is weak, it will possibly go lower. It does not, at the end of the day, it does not really matter about the overall markets, because all stocks, I mean, again, in major collapses, and to remind you that Amazon, while the market was collapsing in 08, went down to 30, but by the time the market made the bottom, Amazon was already 60. So you don't want to lump in everything with just the general view of the market. So when you're trading or you're investing, you look at what you're looking at, and you base your decision based on the pattern of that particular item. But you'll see there are always news items that will affect individual stocks. And I think the big story this week has been Chipotle Mexican Grill as one of them. Now, you know, the E. coli virus or disease that's being caused by them, do we really think that they're the only one that it has this problem? I think in the media, they tend to blow these things out of proportion. And they get so much coverage nationally because they're a big chain. You don't think that there's, you think that they have their own produce, which is, I think, is where the E. coli came from. Don't think that they're the only ones. I mean, they're the ones that are in the media. Why? Because they're a big company, because they're a $600 stock, and because we choose to make it the news. But at the end of the day, okay, I guarantee you there's hundreds of little restaurants that bought their produce from the same vendors, and there's a problem. But what bothers me is that we do make such a big ordeal about it. What bothers me is that we continue to worry and make these ridiculous, comparisons into, oh my God, the stock is going to go to business. And, you know, look, E. coli, dirty meat, dirty food happens everywhere. If you've ever been in the back of a restaurant, you might never go back to any restaurant ever again if you saw what actually happened behind the closed doors of a kitchen. because, again, it's not about that. And this is, you know, where you have to separate where the news, the sensationalism, and the BS is versus what is going to be the actual effect on the company. Now, Chipotle has been, you know, on a little bit of a sell-off, but still an extremely strong stock. And this overall news really doesn't mean anything, okay? It's part of being in business. You know, we have issues all of the time. So don't get yourself caught up in news that means nothing, because the markets know well ahead of time as to what their expectations of the market are. And that becomes the bigger story because, again, you know, when you listen to outside information, remember that it's always being reported by the network or the station or the individual who's reporting. It is not necessarily an objective view to the story. It's a story that kind of builds on itself, and we get these sensational buildups as to, you know, why this stuff is happening, when it really, in the big scheme of life, it doesn't mean anything. And that is what I want you to take away, is that don't try to outsmart money. Money creates its own map, okay? For good and for bad, money creates its own map. And if you allow yourself to continue to be drawn in or fooled by markets and by news, you will find yourself on the sure train to ruin. Because at the end of it, it really does not matter. And that has to be what you have to take away from sensationalistic news of stuff that this just does not have a real meaning to whether or not they make money, whether or not the street or the investors want to buy it. We have to continue to be objective about the market footprint, because when we always come back down to it, it's always about the footprint. It has nothing to do with those little bits of news items. And that is where you have to take away the value of information. And that's where you have to sort it out. Because if you remember this one thing, the footprint of the market will tell you where we're going. As I said when we started, right now the markets still want to go higher. It doesn't matter that the fundamentals of the world are in the tank. It doesn't matter that we are in a recession. It doesn't matter that we don't have any growth. If you're investing, what matters is that the market right now is going up. And that should be the only contention that you should be thinking about, is that the market is going up. So you either look for a place to participate in that, or you sit on the sidelines waiting for the market to find a level to reverse and go the other way. Anyways, make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. I think it's the best platform out there for what we do, especially in Canada, because we get rates that nobody gets in Canada. And if you're from the province, you will want to come to us, because you will get rates that will save you a tremendous amount of money through the year. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Ooh.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I got into a conversation yesterday about Ponzi schemes and, you know, the many hundreds of thousands of schemes, because there's a Ponzi scheme going on every day. You know, for whether it's little money or big money, obviously one of the most important Ponzi schemes, or one of the most noted, well-publicized Ponzi schemes in history, was Bernie Madoff. And of course, at the end of the day, you know, it was a disaster. But one thing about Ponzi schemes is they cannot be done on their own. They need some help, especially in the case of a Bernie Madoff. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, we don't sniff trouble. And Ponzi schemes, the problems with Ponzi schemes, the error that we never hear about them until something goes wrong in the market or in the scheme you're trading in. But the biggest ones are always in the market, because that's where people invest. That's where, you know, the money is flowing, and that's where, you know, everybody's always looking for that easy money. And, you know, if you don't understand, if it looks too good and it smells too good, it's probably not that good. Nobody gives away free money. Nobody. I don't care what the advertising says. I don't care what you hear. If the results are too dramatically different from what, let's say, the mean or the average is, it's probably something that needs to be researched a little bit better. Now, I'm talking about this stuff because I'm really getting upset about regulations, compliance, the SEC, all of the governing bodies. You know, this came up with the protests at the CME on Monday. This came up with all of the crap that has continued to ruin the investment business as we know it. Because when we look around and we see what has been going on here, regulation and compliance has ruined the business, and not just for the guys, the thieves, because there is always going to be crooks. Okay? Go back, and I guarantee you, obviously I wasn't there, but if you go back to the Stone Age, there were crooks there too. There were guys that were running Ponzi schemes forever. Okay? It was only until late when they were named, but there's always a scheme. But you would think that with all of the compliance and all of the SEC regulations and FINRA and all the other BS organizations that do nothing, because they don't really protect you. They prevent you from doing something, but they don't protect you. And again, I have no proof of this. I have no evidence. This is just this is one man's opinion, one little street kid from Chicago, that says that Bernie Madoff's scam had to be helped by somebody on the inside of the governing bodies. Now, it has not come out yet, and Bernie Madoff is now, I don't know, 8 years old, 9 years old, which means it was going on well before that. But the over-regulation that we get, the amount of money that a normal company in the investing business has to pay for compliance is huge. And what does that really do what it really does, who really pays the cost of compliance? Well, guess who? We do. The investors end up paying for it. Because the costs have to be sent, pushed down like everything else. So what bothers me is that, in my, again, my opinion, I'm not, I don't want to get anybody else in my opinion, there was somebody from the SEC that was involved in the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. Why? Well, because it couldn't have been done without the help of somebody who was ignoring the regulation of what was being done. Because the things that Bernie Madoff said he was doing were a mathematical impossibility if anybody would have bothered to look under the hood. So the problem I have with all of this garbage, and it is garbage, because we have become such an overregulated society that, to me, you have to do something. You know, we tend to go from one side to the other, and we went from lax, not watching, to overwatching. And if you don't think this sends ripples and problems through the industry, think again. Because they have prevented the ability to really have free markets. They have prevented the ability of people doing things that they want to do. Now, again, some of the, and it really has not eliminated the crooks. Because, unfortunately, a lot of the crooks come from the inside. And that becomes a bigger problem. Because when you look at it, just look at what goes on in the government. You don't think those guys, and I'm not saying them all, and I'm not picking out anybody individually here, but you don't think they're getting graft and stealing? I mean, if you don't think so, please, you know, let me know that you think I'm nuts. But at the end of it, you will see that there is graft and there is money. And after all, what are we talking about now in the political system? It's about the money. Because it's how much money you can raise to run for office. You know that people are always getting paid off. Again, this is not new. The only thing that's new is that it's because of technology. We have seen much more information about that. But because it's the technology and because we have the news flow, we hear about these things. But you don't think these things didn't go along? You think all of a sudden that people became smarter about stealing? You know, you can go back to the gangster days when they were, you know, running, you know, cities because everybody was on the payroll. And somebody's getting paid off. Somebody has to be paid off to turn or look the other way. And so in these schemes that are well thought out and usually done by very smart people, because you got to be smart to run something like this, they've got to have somebody on the inside helping you, you know, easing you in and saying, come on, jump in, it's great. Because if you had true regulations that made sense, you would not have as many of these. There is always going to be somebody who's going to beat it. There's always going to be somebody smarter than the system because, of course, we have a much bigger tendency to react after the fact than to be preemptive. And that's where I believe a much bigger mistake is being made, is we are too busy with stupid regulations instead of making ones that actually will help preempt those things. But that's why me and the Badger say, hey, you need to be hedged. you've got to have that portfolio locked up tight, because again, there isn't a question of if, it's only a question of when. And not because we don't think the markets can go higher, just because we know that over history, history tells us that there's going to be a problem. Go to thebubbashow.org right now. Check it out. The hedging program with Bubba and Badger. In the meantime, get the show, The Bubba Show, on demand at Liberty Express. In other words, excuse me, libertytalk.fm. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Arts will be right back after the break.
In other words.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as you know or don't know, I do appear on Stuart Varney's show every Tuesday. And just last Tuesday, I was on again with my friend Stuart and on the crew. And we had a pretty good heated discussion, and I wanted to share that with you. So let's go back to the Varney show from Tuesday with me.
Clapping away at the NASDAQ and the big board. Then they ring the bell, you can hear that. And then at precisely 9:30, which is in 3 seconds, they will start trading. Not expecting a great deal of movement, not in the very early going. Should be fairly flat according to the futures market. And we're down about 17, 14 points. We're flat at the opening bell. Ashley Webster is here, so is Liz McDonald, Todd Horowitz, and Hillary Kramer. All of them on deck today. Todd, you first. The Dow's positive for the year 2015. You're the guy who says this market is a mirage fueled by free money. You said that. I take it you believe we're heading for a real big disappointment. Is that right?
Good morning, Stuart. This is a mirage that's built on the backs of free money. We have no foundation to this market. There has been zero growth in reality, in real growth, other than corporate acquisitions, mergers, buybacks. Other than that, we have seen no real growth in this country. We've got a system that continues to fuel the legalized Ponzi scheme because we have a Federal Reserve, a federal government that now wants to hire guys out of criminals. We have a Federal Reserve that runs a legalized Ponzi scheme, continuing to print new money to satisfy old debt. Eventually, it will not work out. For now, we'll probably go up and hit new highs. But for going forward, this market will collapse because it's
collapse.
Built on
okay.
artificial
Important
money.
Important word. Hillary Kramer, you reply to that. The word collapse, please, Hillary.
Collapse. We are marching higher here, Stuart, and our economy has created entire new sectors, especially in technology, whether it's cybersecurity or cloud hosting. And look at where we've made it in biotechnology. We are still the leader globally, worldwide.
What do you say to that, Todd? Come back in again for a second, because American high-tech companies are king of the hill. What's wrong with putting money there?
There's nothing wrong with putting money there, but they've also become overvalued. You know, all we have to do is substitute the internet bubble from the internet bubble to the Fed bubble. Mathematically, it's a certainty that the market will have a major correction because it always does. Unless you want to listen to John Maynard Keynes in 1928 and say there'll never be another collapse. Mathematically, we're going to collapse.
We're going to have this argument, this discussion, I should say, for a long time to come. All right, take a look at some individual stocks. First off this, the Call of Duty people, they're buying the Candy Crush people, and they're going to pay $6 billion for this. Ashley?
$6 billion. Combines two giants of the video game, because industry. We have Activision, of course, has Call of Duty. My kids live on that, move on that, and also the World of Warcraft. But it's buying the Candy Crush and the Candy Crush saga. I didn't realize how huge this is.
Right.
But it is still among the top apps in the Apple App Store, which tells you something. It's been around a while. And obviously, the other thing, let me just say this with Activision, is their games are kind of expensive. I know that because I buy the games for the kids. This is a much less inexpensive mobile game, gets them into a different area.
This is like King Digital did this Jerry Seinfeld. They knew when to leave. They knew when to sell themselves. So, you know, King Digital has been trending below its IPO price ever since it went public.
King Digital is smartphone-based games.
Right.
Activision is console-based games.
Right.
They get the two together and they straddle both very important platforms. That's the value
that's the
of this
value.
Merger, right?
It's just that it's $5.9 billion
that's what
to
shocks
get on
me.
Mobile.
Yeah.
It
would
make more sense to just have some
take
programmers.
Take the months and runs.
$6 billion.
As Henny Youngman says, Nem Degel, take the money.
All right, check it out. How about Fitbit? Yeah, Fitbit made better profits, got that, but they're going to issue new shares. So they're diluting the stock. That's why Fitbit, despite a pretty good performance, is down about 5%. Have I got that right? Dilution equals a stock loss, Hillary?
Sometimes it does, but if there's enough demand, the stock can bounce right back up, and we've seen that with many companies lately, like including like Shake Shack, for example, when they did
so
their secondary.
So will bounce?
The problem are the margins here. Yes, there's a secondary
profit
offering.
Profit margins.
The profit margins, and this is what happens when you're in a hardware kind of business like this and competing with Apple.
Okay, Liz, you're
fired up. No, the shares coming in potentially is equals about 10% of the shares outstanding. Not saying all of them will trade. That's why the stock is
tell you what,
a little
though,
bit of pressure
here. They had a good earnings report. They beat
very
on revenue.
The new
they beat on earnings. They posted a great report.
They're not a one-trick pony. GoPro may be, but not Fitbit.
No, $400 million of revenue versus $150 million
a year ago. They're also getting a lot of corporate partnerships. So Bank of America, Target are now offering Fitbits to their employees. So that's good for Fitbit.
Car companies are in the news. We already told you that Ford Motor Company, their sales up 13%. Now we've got GM. They sold almost, 263,000 vehicles, up 16% from last year. The stock has reached 35. Look at Chipotle, please. We told you yesterday that 43 stores had been closed in Seattle and Portland because of E. coli. 8 people hospitalized, no deaths. But it may be that more people are going to get sick. Is that the expectation, Liz?
Yeah, that is the expectation. And there's news breaking, too. The Oregon health officials are zeroing in on vegetables, not meat, as being the source of the contamination. So, yes, as more people realize, hey, wait a second, I ate a Chipotle, I'm feeling sick. I had impossible, symptoms of it. The number of people reported cases could rise.
But it's back up again this morning. Right. $6 rise there. Yeah. Not a big rise, but it's back up a little bit.
That's right.
How about Google? They want to start drone package deliveries in 2017. Hillary, I don't think that affects Google or Alphabet, whatever it's called. I don't think it affects the stock, but it shows that Alphabet is a forward-looking company. That's my position.
Absolutely. It's just that who wants drones? Imagine all these drones dropping all these packages.
On your head.
Exactly.
You don't think that's the way of the future?
Well, what's going to happen to UPS and Federal Express? I mean, that's really the question.
Have to get their own drones.
Why can't you just use a dolly? Why can't you just use a
dolly?
Metal dolly instead of a drone
to get
your package delivered?
I'm shocked at you people. I look to the future and I confidently expect package delivery by a drone. I think it's going to come.
Well, I think so too.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Mm. You're such Luddites, you people.
What's the urgency?
See that little graphic there?
That's for rural areas. You can understand that.
That's my ranch. Into the country to find your package?
Not quite.
No.
All right, Amazon. Listen to this one. Here's something new. Amazon is going to open its very first bricks and mortar bookstore. Okay? Now, look, I've got a Kindle. But I buy real books. I like to read real books. I'm not an electronic kind of guy. Again, it's not going to make any difference to the stock at all, but it's a movement, isn't it? That tells me that there is still demand for
still
actual
value.
Books.
Yeah.
They still sell them.
I like that. And newspapers.
Are you going to pick up on this? I'm doing all the talking.
Well, we're just so engrossed with your points, Stuart.
You're riveting this
morning.
They're
opening this store where? In Seattle, near the university. They think it will be a hangout place for students. And yes, there is still value. I'm a little older, too. Hey. I love holding books.
Hey, Todd Horowitz, come in, please. Are you going to read an actual book when the crash comes? Your book, maybe?
I'm a book reader, and as Amazon has successfully put out everybody out of business, they can now come back into those stores that they vacated and reopen them up.
You're such a Luddite. There we have it. Kellogg, obviously the cereal people. Sales are down. Apparently more shoppers are going healthy. All right, Nicole, tell me about the stock, please.
Well, take a look at the stock. The stock is down almost 4% today. This is the eighth of nine quarters that they've seen the sales slipping. The analysts say they better do something if they want to maintain and be this breakfast behemoth, because what's not flying are Fruit Loops, Eggos, Pop-Tarts, Cheez-Its, Pringles. Imagine having all those things on your table. They certainly sound delicious, but not necessarily the most healthy. So the analysts are saying they should try and do some M&A, mergers and acquisitions, get with an organic company and try and move that way. But they have, in their defense, tried to get rid of artificial coloring. That'll be by 2018. And cage-free eggs by the year 2025.
Okay, breakfast behemoth.
Yes.
You coined that expression.
That's me at the Golden Corral at the buffet.
I think the way to go is General Mills. GIS here, great dividend yield, and you got Cheerios. And
Cheerios.
There's a demand for Cheerios.
Oh, they're good for your heart, aren't they?
Yes.
So I'm told.
Okay.
That was fun story. Every morning, weekday morning, 5 o'clock, you can catch Lauren Simonetti, who is on maternity leave, actually.
Yes.
And Nicole Petalides right there, 5 a.m., everybody. Great start to the day. Got some other big names that we're watching. Start with AMC Entertainment, the movie theater people. Profit and sales disappointed. It's down 4.5%. AIG loses money. It faces calls from shareholders, Carl Icahn and John Paulson, to just break up.
And of course, you know, a great show and a lot of fun. And of course, we've got the usual. But again, even AIG, you know, we talked a little bit about Ponzi schemes and things that were skipped by the regulators. No bigger one than AIG that was able to do things that you would not think that they should be able to do. Just a little bit of food for thought. But again, that's why we believe that hedging your portfolio is the key. Whether you're hedging equities, you need to be in a position that you'll be able to overcome the next major market sell-off. We always forget that things happen and they will continue to happen. But if you, for example, had owned Walmart last year, you're down 40% in a market that's flat to higher. And had you had Walmart hedged, you'd be actually up money looking to buy more of it. I'm recommending to you, you go to thebubbashow.org, check out our hedging program. If you got questions, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will help you. I want you to be successful. I want you not to have to suffer in the next commodities, the next collapse. So go check it out. And also check out The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm on demand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
The song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander. Orchestrated by...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, it's been a jam-packed show with, you know, lots of stuff. And, you know, I had a few points that I thought interesting. And, you know, there's the old, as you know, I'm looking for a market sell-off. Now, again, I'm not predicting it today. I'm just telling you that it's going to happen. And I go back to some of the big bust cycles. And, you know, if you go back to the 1800s, it was the railroad, the big bust. Got overpriced, got trashed. Great companies, great business model, but got overvalued. Okay, you go back into, you know, the internet bubble. Okay, great concept. That's what we live on, technology, but had to have a collapse to weed out the week. The housing bubble had to weed out the week. Is this now the biotech or whatever bubble? You know, we've seen what's going on with, you know, Valiant Pharmaceuticals and the battle that's going on there. In the meantime, the stock has lost about 60% of its value from the high. So is this the big bust? Are we going to continue to ignore that China is missing everywhere on every number? And that's from what we get, and that's from what they tell us. Okay. It's interesting that we can continue to ignore the potential problems because at this point we've got that dirty little five-letter word of greed that is taking over. Another little dirty six-letter word is margin or margin debt taking over. Do we not see that greed has grabbed on and taking over the market? Okay. I mean, we just had another GDP number. Are you kidding? 1.5% growth. Where do you think we're going at 1.5%? Okay. I mean, you know, you look at all these things and there's a big talk now of the impending recession. I would argue, and I'd like to know what you think, I would argue that we never left the recession if you're part of the middle class. I would argue that things are worse today, other than your 401ks, if you didn't sell, than they were just 6 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever the hell it is already. I mean, we're almost in 2016. Has your life, has your financial position gotten better? Did your business get better over this time? You know, again, I'd like to hear from you because from the people that I talk to, I haven't seen it. Okay, I'm hearing worse. And of course, there's nothing bigger or a bigger story this week of the protesters at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Now, I was called by Cavuto, the Neil Cavuto show, when it first started to break, and asked, and, you know, this has been something that has been going on for years, okay? For years, traders are looked upon as the rich, but the traders that they're trying to tax, the market makers that they're trying to tax, is a bunch of BS, okay? Because what you're dealing with is a bunch of idiots that are protesting something and trying to get traders to pay money that they're going to put the business out. Because traders, market makers, don't make that much money on a per trade basis. If you're going to try to tax them per trade, you are going to close the business. Now, for the exchanges part, I will venture to say that the exchanges are having a party right now. You know, as you've heard me say in the past, with the other problems in the world, the Fed was having a party because they don't know what to do, so they're not going to raise rates, and they have no plan. And the worldwide trouble left them in a position where they didn't have to raise rates because they could defer the problems elsewhere. Well, conversely here, the exchanges, which are now basically 90%, 95% electronic, would love to move out of the expensive real estate that they're in, downtown Chicago, New York, and just move those out to places that are tax-free, low cost. But what the protesters didn't understand, and what they don't understand, is they're affecting hundreds of thousands of innocent people that aren't even in the category of what they think that they're trying to do. And again, I say what they think because they're wrong, because what they want would close the business. What they want would be the end of the business, but the electronic exchanges would like to end all human interaction anyways. The business itself, they'd love to get out, and they're just looking for an excuse to say to everybody, fine, we're 100% electronic. There is no more exchange. There is no more trading floor, so to speak, except for the electronic. So all of these ridiculous protests, these idiots that are on the street yelling and screaming, and most of them paid, most likely, why aren't they working? I guess that's a question. If you're so concerned about paying taxes, why aren't you working so that your percentage and proportion of tax would be sent in? But you're too busy out protesting something that you have no idea about, something that makes absolutely no sense, and you're in a position trying to put out of work hundreds of thousands of people. Because when the exchange does close, and it will close because it will go 100% electronic, and again, this is going to be the most likely the impetus to make it go electronic 100%, all the restaurants, all the parking garages, all the little shops that are supported by those people that work on those floors are going to have to close because there is not going to be the volume of people coming to work at that place. So what is going to happen to all of those places that depended on the business that is there? And that's where the protesters have no idea of the chain of economics and how business actually works. So they're out crying and bitching about something that A, is wrong, and B, is going to affect everybody's life from that perspective in the area that those places are. Because if there's no people coming in, then that means there's no need for restaurants. And we're very often short-sighted at the what we believe is right, when if you thought about it, you would say that you're all the people you're trying to protect, you're putting them out of business. You're sending them to the unemployment rolls, which is just what we need so we can create more unemployment. We are creating a mess. But the biggest point here is this is another warning sign of an economy that is getting ready to collapse, and another warning sign of a potential revolution. Think about that one. And remember, catch The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm on demand. Everybody have a great day. I always appreciate you being here. Love to hear from you. Email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, as well as checking out the website. Great stories, great information. We're here for you. We are the average guy. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.